Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
So today we are going to start a new series called Into the Wild, and I'm excited about that. Just to see what God's going to do. This is one of those series that I feel like God has been working in me for a long time, just in my personal life. And also in our church. At the beginning of the year, we were praying, and every year I try to see what is God saying for this year. And sometimes I get a kind of a theme maybe that God's pushing us towards for the year. Sometimes I don't. And so this year I really felt like God was speaking to us that we need to be able to grow and move. And those were the two words that I talked about. And I preached that the first Sunday of the year, and I said, but they don't have anything to do with numerical growth. It doesn't have anything to do with moving locations. It has everything to do with our ability to grow on the inside. As individuals, as Christians, in our faith, in our relationship with God, we need to be growing. And then the other part about moving was we need to be moving. The Bible says that we move from glory to glory. That if you can look at your life, and I think I preached a message called No More Treadmills, that you know, running on a treadmill is great. It moves your body, but you don't go anywhere. And I hate treadmills because I want to go somewhere. If I'm going to run, I want to go run on a trail where I feel like I'm going somewhere. The other day, my dad came up here and he was visiting with us. And so my dad's a runner. And so he goes out and he runs here in Trustful. And he ran a little path. And he tries to run 3 or 4 miles, you know, whenever he runs at a time. And so he ran like 3 miles and we got done, came home. So the next day he goes back out and he says, he wanted to change of pace, so he's going to run the same path backwards, right? And so he goes backwards whenever he does because he's going backwards and he wasn't used to the area. He missed a turn, and when he missed a turn, he ended up having to run double. He ran about 6.5 miles, and he said, I didn't have any water with me. It was hot. I was about to die. He said, I just thought, I'm going to die. I'm going to die out here on the road, and no one's going to know where I am. But I like to run and go somewhere, right? And so the idea is spiritually, we need to be moving somewhere. And so the other night, we're sitting here in Wednesday night prayer. And as we're getting ready to pray, I think Kim Crosby was speaking and just sharing a little prayer thought like we do every Wednesday night. And as she was sharing, she backtracked all the way back to the first of the year and talked about grow and move. And it was like God just hit me in prayer that you need to revisit that we don't need to forget what God's speaking to us. And so I wanted to share a message with you today, this series on Into the Wild, because I believe God wants us to move forward in our faith. He wants us to move forward in our life. He wants us to move forward in every aspect of where we are. He doesn't want us just sitting still and doing nothing. He wants us moving and going, but He's got to prepare us to get to where we got to go. And I think one of the biggest problems that we have in life is that we want the palace, but we don't want the pain it takes to get to the palace. We want the promotion, but we don't want the pressure it takes to get the promotion. We want somebody to hand it to us. And so today we're going to explore this guy named David in the Bible who was king, but he wasn't king right away. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that David was anointed king by the prophet Samuel whenever he was somewhere between the ages of 12 and 16. We're not exactly sure those ages. And that hits me kind of hard because I've got a son in the back right now who is between the ages of 12 and 16. And I can't even imagine immediately at that age him being anointed to be king over a country. I mean, when you put it in perspective, when you read the Bible and you just say David's, you know, anointed king at, you know, 14 years old, what a great thing. But whenever you put in perspective someone you know, I mean, y'all imagine G2 having to lead our country. I mean, my Lord, help us all. I love you, buddy, but I don't want you leading the country. I wouldn't want myself leading the country, much less a 13-year-old. So it's one of those things that we see. But here's the thing. He was anointed king as a teenager, but he didn't become king. He wasn't recognized as king until he was 30 years old. So what happened in that in-between time? What happened between the anointing and the throne? There was some time frame in there where things were happening to David, where David had to be trained to become king. And the problem was the king that he had at the time wasn't willing to train him. The king that he had at the time wanted to kill him. And so he had to be trained by God. And so God put David into the school of the wilderness. And so today's message is about the wilderness. And there's a wilderness school that God wants to put every one of us and our church as a whole. He wants to put us into the wilderness, not to hurt us, but to break us. Think about that for a second. Not to hurt you, but to break you. See, there's some things in my life and in your life that need to be broken before we can get to the throne. There's some things in our lives that need to be changed and need to be transformed. There's some areas we need to grow up before we make it to the throne. I remember at 23 years old, I was a youth pastor thinking I had it all together. And I remember my dad had told me stories that he was pastoring his own church at 23 years old. And here I was at 23 as a youth pastor thinking I should be pastoring a church. I remember somebody calling me one time, and I was at a church already, and the church I was at was a high-pressure job, and I know churches don't seem like high-pressure jobs to most people, although it is considered like one of the top five most stressful jobs in America, but a lot of times we don't think about that. And I was at the job I was at, the church I was at, it was high-pressure. I remember one time my wife and I counting up the days that it was 3 weeks in a row without an off day, without a night off, working, you know, somewhere usually between 12 and 15 hours a day, sometimes at the church. We had a brand new baby. I missed his first tooth. I missed his first step. I missed some of his words during that time frame because I was working at the church so much, just high pressure. And I remember getting a call from a guy, and he said, hey, I'm leaving my church in this town. And he said, if you want it, I know 100 people that will vote you in as pastor right now if you'll just move to this other town and take this job. And I remember on the inside thinking, this is exactly what I want. This is what I need. And I remember going to my wife and I said, baby, we've got the opportunity to be pastors. I got 100 folks waiting on me to show up. All I got to do is walk in and get the church. We can leave this high pressure. We can leave youth ministry behind. We can go somewhere where we are in charge in my early 20s. And my wife looked at me and said, you're not ready. And I wanted to fight. Right? I was so mad at her. I was so hurt at her. And I think I was hurt and I was mad, not just because she told me I wasn't ready, because I think deep down inside I knew I wasn't ready. I think deep down inside I knew I wasn't mature enough. I knew I wasn't, I hadn't been through enough to get to that point. But I think part of me was mad too, because I was ready to get out of the wilderness I was in, and I was ready to go to the palace, but it wasn't time for me to get there yet. Every great man or woman of God that God used in the Bible had to go through a wilderness experience. It was in the wilderness that God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. Had he stayed in the palace of Egypt, he never would have found God. He never would have rescued the Israelites. It was in the wilderness that God killed off a whole generation of Israelites. Why? Because they complained and murmured and they weren't ready to step into their promise. So it was in the wilderness that God prepared them for the promise he had for them. It was in the wilderness that Jesus walked by the Spirit and was empowered by the Spirit and defeated the enemy in temptation. It was in the wilderness. I was reading this morning how Paul talks about how he was beaten and stoned and shipwrecked multiple times. Why? It was in the wilderness. It's in the wild that God prepares us. God's got a promotion for you, but you got to be willing to go through the preparation. During those years that David wasn't ready to be king, here's what happened. Let me just give you a couple of things. He had to face a giant and kill him. He had to run from a jealous king. He had to live in caves. He had to be surrounded by the worst people. But it was in the wild that a shepherd was molded into a king. It was in the wild that he was prepared for promotion. Most of the time the wild scares us, and we don't want to go into the wild because it seems very unstable, right? Have you ever been in those situations where life gets really unstable? Yeah? I like having Roger with us today. So if you don't know Roger and Sherry, they sit on the front row, and they lead our prayer team. But you don't see Roger all the time, not because he's lazy and doesn't come to church. You don't see Roger all the time because Roger has to work a job in North Carolina. So if you ever have to complain about your one-hour commute or 30 minutes across town, Roger drives to North Carolina every day. No, I'm just kidding. He drives to North Carolina and has to stay for a while and then come back. And here's the thing about Roger and Sherry, and I love talking to these guys about this, but this isn't, for these guys, jobs have been unstable. And I know they don't mind me sharing this, but they've been through ups and downs with their jobs where all of a sudden a job completely gets cut out or they're not using this department anymore. And now they're trying to find a job. They're trying to look for ways to sustain themselves. And it was very unstable. But Sherry will tell you and Roger will tell you, it was during those unstable times that God taught them the most. So the wild seems unstable. The wild is uncontrollable, right? When you're in the wild, you can't control what happens. You can't control the weather. You can't control the animals. There's this TV show that I love to watch. It's called Alone. Have you ever seen Alone? No. Oh, man. You're missing out. You've got to find Alone. I don't know what channel it's on. I think it's History Channel. But Alone is the greatest show because they take these people and they will put them on this island in Vancouver, which is populated with bears and mountain lions and wolves. And they say, you got to survive. And it's a game, right? It's a game. You survive and you got 10 items you can bring with you. And there's 10 other people out there surviving far enough away that you can't find them. And the last one on the island, the last one to stay, wins the game. And they don't know how long they got to stay. They don't know how long other people are out there. They're just surviving. And I remember watching it, and this one guy, like the first night, a bear shows up at his tent. And he's calling out, like, night one, beep, 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 get me out of here. There's a bear. Why? I can't control what's happening around me. And sometimes in your life, you go through situations that you just can't control. I can't control my boss. I can't control my kids. I can't control my spouse. I can't control my environment. I can't control what's happening. There's been times in church I felt like I was out of control, like there was just nothing I could do. And listen, part of the reason I think pastors end up having a stressful job is we have to depend on other people showing up to make our job work. I can't control whether or not you come to church. I can preach the best I can preach. We can serve little cupcakes and sing songs and do whatever we can do, but you still have your own choice whether or not you show up. I don't get paid from some trust fund. I get paid because you give. So now my own payment is out of my control. It's solely dependent on whether or not you're willing to give tithe and offerings. Think about that for a second. Think about the fact that it doesn't matter. Like for some of you, it's a matter of how many people show up at the hospital sick. Well, I'm going to tell you something. People are going to be sick forever, right? So they're going to come to the hospital. Some of you, you have to sell, and it's hard being a salesman. I wouldn't want to be a salesman for anything in the world. But you have control of how much you sell. You get out there and hustle, you can work it. But when you have to depend on other people to donate money, whew, it's scary sometimes. But it's out of control. It's out of control. And the wild is out of control. The wild is also unfruitful sometimes. People don't go out into the desert to grow crops. There's a reason. They don't grow. Sometimes the wild feels very unfruitful. And for some of you, you might find yourself in a place today that just seems unfruitful. You say, Gabriel, I've been doing this thing for a long time. I've been working this job. I've been trying to witness to this friend. I've been telling this family member about God. I've been coming to church. I've been reading my Bible. But I just feel like right now there's no fruit. There's nothing coming from this. And maybe it's because you're in the wild today. I'm sure for David, he's in the wild and he's feeling very unfruitful. God, you anointed me as king. And I'm hiding in the ditch. Someone's trying to kill me. It doesn't feel like the kingdom to me. It doesn't feel like the kingdom. There's been times at our church we've been through the wild. For some of you, we're talking about birthday surprise. There's a lot of you that haven't been on this journey the whole time. Some of you have, but a lot of you, you didn't know how it was whenever, after week four at Pinson Valley High School, the roof caved in. Caves in on a Monday after a Sunday, and all of a sudden we're scrambling trying to figure out where in the world we're going to have church. So we borrow someone else's church at 4 o'clock in the evening. Can I tell you something? Nobody wants to go to church at 4 o'clock in the evening. You know how I know it? Everybody left the church. We dropped by like 60% of our congregation was gone. And they didn't just leave to go hang out at home. They went to other churches and got plugged in. So they weren't coming back. Now there's a handful of you that are with us still from those days. But not many of you. Then we end up being blessed to go to the skate center. Can I tell you something today? Not a whole lot of people like going to a skate center and smelling like a foot and having to set up church and tear down church every single Sunday. Some of you started coming in the skate center, and for you, I am so thankful. But that was hard. That was hard whenever your whole morning setup crew quits on you, and the morning setup crew ends up being you and your son. That's hard. I remember people asking me all the time, they say, Gabriel, why do you get up and come to church as early as you do to be able to preach? And I said, because it's in my makeup now. I had to go to the PlayStation at 5 o'clock every Sunday morning and start pulling chairs out of a trailer all by myself. Because the next person that showed up at 7, and then the next person that showed up at 8. So it was me and G2, whenever he was a lot younger, out there getting chairs and setting up chairs, getting out sound equipment, putting out the signs. I'm not saying that to pity me. I'm just telling you, there's been times in this church where we as a church have been through the wilderness. It wasn't always fun. I remember getting this building and what a relief it was. But I still got here at 5 o'clock in the morning. Like, it didn't stop me from doing what I did, right? But because that's just who I was. The wilderness sometimes, it's hard. It's hard work. But you know what? I wouldn't give it up for anything in the world. It was in those mornings by myself pulling chairs out of a trailer that has since been stolen, pulling chairs out of a trailer by myself, when I would have these worst pity parties you've ever seen. God, why me? Why am I doing this by myself? How come nobody wants to come help me? How come I'm the pastor and I got to preach? I'm sweating down in the middle of summer. And why am I doing this all by myself? Steady pulling out chairs. Steady complaining. And the whole time God began to speak to me. He said, I'm working on you. I'm changing some stuff in you. I'm humbling you. I'm teaching you how to work hard. The whole time I'm thinking, John knows I've worked hard before. God, I already learned that lesson. He's like, no, you didn't. You know, and apparently not. So I'm working hard. Why? Because God was doing some stuff in me, and I look back on that now, and I think, and people will say, ooh, I bet you're glad you don't do that anymore. And I say, you know what? I am glad that I'm not doing that, but I will never discourage anybody from working hard and being in that place of wilderness, because I grew up a lot. I grew up a lot. It changed my life. And it's important for us to see that God's preparing us. So I want to give you 5 quick lessons out of David's life that we can all apply to our lives that we learn in the wilderness. And there's probably a lot more, but 5 quick ones. The first lesson that we need to learn is this. We need to learn that His presence and Word are priorities. His presence and His Word are priorities. We must make God's presence and God's Word a priority in our life, even when we're in the wilderness. Even in the desert, even in the worst possible place, we've got to make sure that we're getting into His presence and we're getting into His Word. And what we do a lot of times is when God puts us in a place of wilderness, we get so upset and depressed and discouraged that we back out on God. We back away from God. We back away from His Word. And then we wonder why He's not speaking to us, but He's steady trying to teach us and talk to us, but we've backed away from Him. It's important for us to make this a priority. If you don't get anything else from the message today, if you're going through a wilderness, make His presence and His Word a priority. I've seen people before tell me, they say, why haven't you been coming to church? Well, I haven't been coming because I've just been so upset. I've just been going through a bad time. And on the inside, my heart is screaming, what are you thinking? I get it, you're going through a bad time, but the best place for you to be is in His presence and in His Word. You don't need to be by yourself. You need to be with Him. 1 Samuel chapter 21. Now let me set this story up for you. So David is anointed king, but David's hanging out with Saul. And Saul knows that David is anointed king. And here's what Saul begins to do. David kills a giant, becomes super popular. And so then Saul gets mad. He's jealous. And so Saul begins to send David on these errands. He begins to send him in these battles. And he puts David in charge of some men and says, I want you to go lead my army and go fight the Philistines. But the Bible says that whenever David would go out, that Saul would send him on these missions because he was hoping that he would get killed by the Philistines. And when that didn't work, Saul would be sitting in his throne room, and he would have David come in and play a guitar or some kind of instrument for him. And Saul would take spears and try to throw and stick David to the wall. Eventually, David caught on and said, this job is not for me. I need to leave. And so David runs away from Saul and has nowhere to go, because who's going to believe David over the king? And so David runs away, and he's headed to the wilderness. He's headed into the wild. He's headed away from the palace and away from the city and into the wild. But along the way, before he gets too deep, he stops at the church. And when he stops at the tabernacle, he goes in and he talks to the priest, and he begins to tell the priest, he's trying to lie to the priest to protect the priest from Saul. And he says, hey, listen, I'm on a special mission. And in this mission, I've left so fast, I didn't bring food and I didn't bring weapons. What do you have? And I want you to look with me in 1 Samuel chapter 21. We're going to kind of cut some stuff out, just save some time. But verse 6 says this, since there was no other food available, the priest gave him the holy bread. What is it? The holy bread. Check this out. Look at the name of this bread. The bread of the presence that was placed before the Lord in the tabernacle. It had just been replaced that day with fresh bread. Skip down to verse 8 real quick. David asked Ahimelech, that's the priest, do you have a spear or a sword? The king's business was so urgent, I didn't even have time to grab a weapon. Verse 9. I only have the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, who you killed in the valley of Elah, the priest replied. It's wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. Take that if you want it, for there's nothing else here. There's nothing like it, David replied. Give it to me. David's first stop on his way into the wilderness was for bread and a sword. What does the Bible say about God's word and about God and about the bread of the presence? The bread of the presence is being in His presence. And it says the bread of the presence was put before God every single day. When you're in the wilderness, when you're in God's school of preparation, you need to be in His presence every single day. And what do you need? You need His Word. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between the joint and the marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. When you're in the wilderness, you need His Word. Why? Because His Word will help you decide the difference between your feelings and what you know is right. Right? Between His promises and how you feel today, your emotions. God's Word will help you distinguish what God wants for your life when you're in the wilderness. So your first stop is to get His presence and His Word. The second lesson is this. You've got to use what you've got. This is a big one here. This is a big one for me. This is something God has taught me in church, but He'll teach you the same lesson in your own wilderness by whatever means necessary, and that is use what you've got. Now, I know that right off the bat sounds very simple, but it's not, because here's what we do. We're always waiting on the best. Have you ever noticed that? Always waiting on the best. One day we'll do kids and youth ministry really good when we can afford to pay a pastor to do it. One day, we'll have really good worship when we can afford to pay a pastor to do it. Now, we do have John. But there was a time Some of y'all remember this. There was a time when we did worship on Sunday mornings with a video. Just because we didn't have a pastor didn't stop us from worshiping God. We had to use what we've got. There's a guy named Tommy Barnett. He preached a message one time and said, "Your miracle is in the house." In other words, everything you need from God is already there. You just got to know how to use it. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Here's what happens to David. So David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So here he is again in the wilderness, living in a cave. Soon his brothers and all of his other relatives joined him there. Why did his brothers and relatives join him there? Because Saul was threatening them trying to find him. And so their lives are being threatened. They show up with David. Verse 2. Then others begin coming. Look at these great people God sends David to help him out. Men who were in trouble or in debt or were just discontented until David was a captain of about 400 men. Here David is in the wilderness just needing somebody to help him. If I just had some friends, God, could you just send somebody to help me? Could you just send someone alongside me? And you know who God sends? The worst people in Israel. He sends people that are so full of debt, they can't pay their tithe, they can't give an offering. He sends people that are in so much trouble that they're in more trouble than David. And so David's steady trying to hide. It's not like he can just blend in with the crowd. The crowd is bad too. Every one of them has wanted posters up. You know, if just one person has a wanted poster, you can hide that one person. But if 400 of them have a wanted poster, you're in trouble. You can't go to the post office for nothing. God sent him the worst people, but he made him the captain of the worst people. You're not the worst people. You're really good people. But you know what? If I sit around and I look through our congregation and I say we can't move forward in church until we get the very best of the best, we'll never move forward. As a matter of fact, these men went from being in trouble, in debt, and discontented to becoming what the Bible calls David's mighty men. How did they get to that point? They got to that point because somebody named David decided, you know what, I'm going to use what I got. And if I got a bunch of thieves and murderers and troublemakers and a bunch of people that don't know how to save their money, then what we're going to do is we're going to train every one of you to be great. And we're all going to grow up together. God's teaching me how to go from a shepherd to a king, so I'm going to teach you how to go from a troublemaker to a mighty man. And so God took them on this journey. He took them on this journey. Something God's been speaking to us as a church, as a leadership team, is that we have to start discipling people. You can't sit around and wait on someone else to show up to help you in your ministry. You got to raise up the people that are already in your ministry and make them into the people God wants them to be. Jesus got fishermen. He got a tax collector. Like, Jesus isn't going around getting Pharisees and Sadducees and teachers of the law. He's not getting preachers. He got just normal, everyday, blue-collar people like me and you. And he said, you know what? I'll change the world with blue-collar people. I'll change the world with people that have no education. I'll change the world with people that didn't go to Bible college. I'll change the world because in 3 years, I'll change them. And we've got to be willing to use what we've got. What is it that God has given you? Sometimes we sit around and we wait for a check in the mail. But in reality, God said, I've given you the ability to produce wealth. In other words, it is in you. The skill is in you. You just got to get off your butt and do something about it. Use what you've got. Use what you've got. Matthew chapter 15, verse 34, Jesus has to feed over 4,000 people. And he's looking at this big crowd. And he says, boys, we got to feed all these people. And they said, where in the world are you going to get some food? And Jesus said, how much bread do you have? I love that verse. It's one of my favorites. That when Jesus needs something done, he looks at us and says, what do you have? And they said, we only got 7 loaves and a few fish. Jesus said, that's enough. That's enough. I don't need much. I just need everything you've got. You don't have to have a whole lot. I just need all of it. And we've got to be willing to go to God and say, God, I don't have a whole lot here, but I'll give you everything I've got. I'll use what you've given me. The third lesson that we learn from the wilderness is that we must be led by the Spirit. And this is the key part, not by fear. Led by the Spirit and not by fear. Too often in life, we let fear dictate what job we take. We let fear dictate what person we get in a relationship with. We let fear dictate what church we go to. We let fear dictate where we put our kids in school. We let fear dictate a lot of stuff in our life instead of being led by the Holy Spirit. We've got to allow the Spirit to lead us, not fear. Not fear. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, we're gonna bounce around a little bit. I'm through this. It's a long story. But basically what's happening is David and his men are hiding out in the wilderness. Saul finds out about this. Well, while David's out in the wilderness, he finds out that the Israeli town of Keilah is under attack by the Philistines. Here's another little thing that I didn't put in my notes, but I should have, and that is this. Just because you're in the wilderness, it should never stop your purpose. You should still do what you're called to do. David still acted like a king, even though he wasn't a king. He was in the wilderness, but he's still leading men, and he's still saving people from the Philistines. So the Bible says that Keilah is under attack. Verse 2 says, David asked the Lord, should I go and attack them? Yes, go and save Keilah, the Lord told him. But David's men said, check this out, we're afraid, even in Judah. We certainly don't want to go to Keilah and fight the whole Philistine army. But David asked the Lord again. And again, the Lord replied, go down to Keilah, for I will help you conquer the Philistines. So what happened? David's men are scared, but David says, let's talk to God about it. He talks to God about it. They say, we're still scared. He said, let's talk to God again. Listen, boys, I asked him twice. He said, go, we're going. It doesn't matter how scared we are. We're not going to let fear stop us from our purpose. We're not going to let fear stop us from what God has called us to do. We can't let fear dictate our life. We've got to be led by the Spirit of God. I like the fact that David himself goes to God. There's other places, and maybe even in the same story, where he'll ask the priest to come in and say, we got to pray about this, but then it says that David prayed. David asked. So David and his men rescue the city. And then Saul finds out that they rescued the city, so he knows where they are. So Saul goes to try to kill him and to destroy the town. And verse 10 says, David prayed, here we go again, O Lord God of Israel, I've heard that Saul is planning to come and destroy Keilah because I'm here. Will the leaders of Keilah betray me to him? And will Saul actually come as I've heard? O Lord God of Israel, please tell me. This is a point where we think God's going to say, I will protect you. And the Lord replied, yes, they will betray you. Yes, you're still in the wilderness. Yes, just because you rescued them, just because you did good stuff for them, they will still leave you. Just because you gave them benevolence money and you helped them buy groceries all month and you paid their power bill, they will still walk away. It happens. This is what happens in the wilderness. So David and his men, about 600 of them now, left Keilah and began roaming the countryside. There they are again, just in the wilderness. Don't even know where they're going. Just walking around. Word soon reached Saul that David had escaped. He didn't go to Keilah. Verse 14. Now David stayed in the strongholds of the wilderness. And God didn't let Saul find him. I love that. I love that. Listen, we got to let the Spirit lead us. We've got to be driven by the Spirit and not by fear. I remember when we were over at the PlayStation and we're sitting there and I was trying to preach the Word of God as best I knew how. I'm struggling, you know, setting things up and doing stuff. I'm struggling. I'm hurting on the inside. And then all of a sudden, I get a call from the biggest givers in the church. I mean, these are people that were really keeping the church afloat financially. There would be times, multiple times throughout a year, they would stroke a check for 10 grand. Now, we got real excited a couple of months ago when all of our church together brought in $15,000 for building our future. These people would do that on their own. Just stroke us a check, 10 grand, drop it in the bucket. Not a big deal. One day I get a call. Hey, we need to meet with you. I knew what the call was for. I knew what it was about. I go in, I sit down in the meeting. They said, look, we just don't see eye to eye with you. We don't feel like this is our place, and we're leaving. We're leaving. They left the church. Finances went. I had to go get a job. Life was not fun in the wilderness, right? I could have been driven by fear at that point. I remember times, in that time frame, I remember times thinking, this is it. We're going to probably have to shut the church down. Like, we're going to have to just quit doing what we're doing. Later on, we kept losing folks. I remember when we lost our worship pastor and everything was just going south. And I remember sitting down with the elders saying, hey, look, guys, if I need to resign, I'll resign. Like, we're in trouble here. We got to do something. But I could not let fear dictate the path that our church was on. So I got the people and I said, we're going to pray about this, see what God says. They said, you stay. I said, I'll stay. And we went by the Spirit of God, not by fear. Don't let fear dictate your wilderness. Number four, the fourth lesson is you got to trust the process. Trust the process. If you're an NBA fan, then you know what trust the process means, right? Philadelphia 76ers have a rich history of quality basketball, but over the last 10 to 15 years, they have literally tanked every season. Their whole idea was, and they called it the process, and everybody thought they were foolish, but their whole idea was to fail as much as possible so that they could get high draft picks and pick the best players possible. So they went from zeros to this year, heroes, making it into the playoffs. And now people are saying that next year they'll be one of the top teams in the NBA. Why? And their motto is, trust the process. Trust the process. It took a while. It took a lot of losing. It took a lot of wilderness so that they could get those young guys and then develop them to get to where they are now. But they had to trust the process. For us, we need to learn to trust the process. God has you in this school of the wilderness for a reason, and He's got this church sometimes in a wilderness for a reason, because we are all in a process. And the minute we start putting our hands on it is the minute we start backing up, is the minute it starts failing. We've got to trust His process. Look at what happened to David in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 3 through 7. At the place where the road passes some sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding further back in that very cave. How does that feel? Right? I'm going to go hide in the cave. And you start walking out of the cave one day, and there's Saul using the bathroom. The enemy that's chasing after you, his whole army is right outside the cave, and you're going, back away. You know, like, get back to the back of the cave. So it says they're hiding in the cave. Look at what his men tell him. Now's your opportunity, David's men whispered to him. Today, the Lord is telling you. Today, the Lord is telling you. I will certainly put your enemy into your power to do with as you wish. So David crept forward and cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. Let me just show you something real quick. David's men see Saul, and they said, today's the day that you become king. This is the day you've been waiting for. All you have to do is walk up there and kill him, and you're the king. But David understood that God wasn't done with the process. And David could have put his hands on it, but he would have messed everything up. Look at the next verse. But then David's conscience began to bother him because he had cut Saul's robe. Verse 6, he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this to my Lord the king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him. So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. It's important for you to see here that David had the opportunity to put his hands on it. Whenever I told you that story about being in my early 20s and having the opportunity to go take that church, I could have done it, but it would have been me putting my hands into the middle of God's process. And God wasn't ready for me to leave the process. I remember there being another time when I was praying and I told my wife, I said, I am ready to leave and go somewhere else and do something different. And she said, God's not done with us here yet. Let's stay until we don't want to leave. And I thought, that will never happen. But God taught me something in the wilderness. I'm not saying that my church was bad or my pastor was bad or the people around me were bad. It was me. It was me. I was in. You can be in the best situation and be in a wilderness because it's here. It's here, right? And so God was teaching me something. God was teaching me something. And I could have put my hands on it. And there's some of you, you're in a wilderness and you're saying, I've been in this wilderness way too long. And you are giving given opportunities to get out of the wilderness if only you will take charge. And you have to learn to trust the process and say, I'm not going to take charge in the situation. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. Part of Saul's downfall, the reason God rejected Saul as king, is because the Bible says he was led by fear. The Bible says God told him to go wipe out this group of people that were coming against them. And you know what Saul did? Saul saved the best of the group. He saved their king, and he saved their animals, and he saved the best-looking people. And Samuel goes up to Saul, and he says, why did you save all these people? God told you to wipe them out. And Saul said, I was afraid of the people. I was afraid of our folks. I was so scared. So he let fear determine his path. And God began to reject him. Later on, the Bible says that Saul was waiting on the prophet Samuel to show up. But because Samuel didn't come when Saul wanted him to come, Saul began to do the sacrifice and try to do all the stuff that the prophet and the priest were supposed to do. Saul put his hands on it and took matters into his own hands. And as he's doing it, Samuel walks up and says, if you would have just waited 5 more minutes, I would have been here. But what happened? Saul put his hands on it. And those two situations caused Saul to be rejected as king. It put Saul in a position that later on in his life, not long before he dies, he ends up, because he can't hear God's voice, he ends up going to witches and demons to try to figure out God's plan for his life. So in the middle of the wilderness, we've got to be willing to trust the process and be led by the Spirit. The fifth and final lesson is this. You have to learn to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Now, even in the wilderness, David wasn't perfect. There was times when David made mistakes. As a matter of fact, one time in the wilderness, David was so worried about Saul catching him that David decided to go away and live with the enemy, to live with the Philistines. And while he was doing some undercover work over there and doing some really cool stuff, still it was outside of what he was supposed to be doing. While he was gone, when he led his men away, they had a little town they had been living in called Ziklag. And another enemy, the Amalekites, showed up. When the Amalekites showed up, they stole all the people, the wives, the kids, kidnapped everybody, and burned the town to the ground. So David and his men come back home, and when they come back home, they see the fires burning. They don't know where. Now, the Bible says, if you read the rest of the story, that they had kidnapped the women and children, but the men at the time didn't know that. They don't know what's happening. They just know all of their family is missing, and their houses are burned to the ground, and they're very upset. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 3 says this, when David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. Sometimes in the wilderness, you're going to weep until you can weep no more. I remember whenever I was younger and my dad was the pastor of our church and he decided to go be a missionary. And when he decided to go be a missionary, he left me there at the church and we thought we would stay. And we knew who the pastor was going to be. It was going to be great until the church split right down the middle. Half of the leadership wanted one guy to be the pastor. Half of the leadership wanted another guy to be the pastor. And it became this horrible, horrible just battle. To the point, even after I had left that church, they ended up having the police have to come to one of their meetings. It got that heated and crazy. Can you imagine the cops having to show up at church? It's nuts. I remember not knowing what my future was going to hold. And I remember living in a single-wide trailer, and we had 2 bedrooms in the trailer, one on one end, one on the other. And I remember while Perry was sleeping, I would get up out of the bed, and I'd walk to the other end of the house, and I would lay on the floor, and I would just weep and weep and weep. And I would pray and ask God for the church and for myself and my family, God, what is going on here? This is a wilderness. Sometimes you're going to find yourself in a place where you can weep until you can weep no more. Verse 6 says David was now in great danger because all of his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters. And they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord his God. David found strength. It wasn't until David was completely broken that God could fill him up. Sometimes God's got to pour you out. He's got to pour out all the you so that he can pour in all the him. And you find that place in the wilderness. You don't find that place in the palace. That's in the wilderness. David was completely broken, but he goes to God. Now look, he had new friends coming. He had other people. The Bible says that there was a whole other group of people that showed up to encourage him and help him. But the Bible says he did not encourage himself with his friends. He encouraged himself in the Lord. We tell you all the time, you got to get in a small group. You got to be in a group of people, and that's true. But at the end of the day, if you don't know how to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, if you don't know how to go to God and say, God, I'm empty, I'm dying, I'm hurting, and I only need you, if you will fill me up once again, if you don't know how to do that, if you don't know how to find strength in the Lord, then you're going to suffer and stay in the wilderness. Friends are good. We need friends. But there's got to be a relationship between you and God that doesn't involve anybody else. Some of us, our only relationship with God is through someone else. You got to have a relationship with God all by yourself. You got to be able to find that strength all by yourself. David encouraged himself. Just quick little thoughts and we're going to end. David encouraged himself by remembering God's love, God's promise, and God's past provision. Whenever you find yourself in this place, you got to remember that God loves you more than anything else. That God has a promise for you. David said, you know what? I'm not going to get stoned today because I'm supposed to be king. So something good's going to come out of this because I'm supposed to be king. God's going to take us out of this place because I'm supposed to be king. That's a promise. And then David looked back at what happened to him in his past and said, you know, I was in the cave when the enemy walked in the cave and God took care of me. He'll take care of us again. He remembered the past. Let me end today with this final thought. Later on in David's life, he makes it to the throne. He becomes king. And listen, just because you make it to your promise doesn't mean the enemy's going to stop attacking you. Just because you make it to your throne doesn't mean the enemy's not going to try to take it away from you. But hopefully, your time in the wilderness has strengthened you and taught you so that now whenever the enemy attacks, you know what to do. So now David is king and his own son, Absalom, tries to take the throne from him. And you know what the Bible says David did not do? It says that he didn't go kill Absalom. It says he didn't fight a battle with Absalom in the palace. It says David retreated where? To the wilderness. He said, God put me in the wilderness last time someone was trying to kill me. This time I'm putting myself in the wilderness when God tries to kill me. I will go on and back out. He says, I've learned a lot of lessons. I'm going to go into the wilderness. And here's the thing. Absalom decides that he's going to fight David in the wilderness. The problem is Absalom was raised in the palace. He didn't understand the wild. He didn't know what it was like to be in the wilderness. And so when Absalom takes a battle to David in the wilderness, look at what happens in 2 Samuel chapter 18. The Bible says this, verse 6. So the battle began in the forest of Ephraim. Now pause for a second. I've always been confused by this because I know David's in the wilderness. Why is he in a forest? That doesn't seem like the right thing. So I looked up forest of Ephraim, and the word here for forest, the Hebrew word here for forest, the only way the English knew how to translate it was forest. But in reality, it's kind of a wasteland. The Hebrew word for it is a place of a lot of scrubs, a lot of stones, a lot of rocks, and a few trees. Just a few trees. So he goes out to the wilderness. Look at verse 7. And the Israelite troops were beaten back by David's men. Why? Because David's men grew up in the wilderness. They were trained in the wilderness. They lived in the wild. There was this great slaughter that day, and 20,000 men laid down their life. Verse 8. The battle raged all across the countryside, and more men died because of the forest, the wilderness, than were killed by the sword. Here's what happens. When you are raised in the wilderness, and you are transformed in the wilderness, and the enemy tries to come against you to get you off of your throne, to get you out of your promise, to take those things away from you that God has promised you, all you got to do is retreat back to the wilderness. And say, you can't fight me here because this is where I'm from. This is my home. I want you to watch this quick video. It'll take you just a couple of minutes and then we're going to pray. I know we're running a little bit late this morning. But this is a guy named Eric Thomas. And I want you to watch this quick video. Go ahead, guys.
I'm telling you that you only got to hit life hard one good time in the mouth. And it will never challenge you the way it challenged you. Batman, I love it, Batman. The Dark Knight, Batman, you know, he's called Bane. I'm Batman. And Bane goes, ha, 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 ha. No, for real, some of you think because because of who you are, your little grades, your little life, that you're just going to put all this stuff down and go to life and say, I am Eric Thomas. And Bane laughs. And Batman starts to swing and swing and swing. And Batman throws the strongest punch. And Bane grabs and he says, victory has defeated you. Now listen to what I just said. He told Batman, because Batman, Bruce Wayne, millionaire, extraordinary. He says, your success, victory has defeated you. And then he took Batman and bah, bah, boom. And so Batman all of a sudden takes his little, bat gun out, right? And he starts shooting, cutting all the lights off. Right? Because he's Batman. He thinks he has an advantage in the dark. And Bane says, he says, Batman, the dark? You got to look at life when life knocks you down and says, this all you got? The dark? Is this it? Bane looks at Batman and he says, Batman, you trained in the dark. You adopted in the dark. You adopted the dark. I was born in the dark, shaped in the dark, molded by the dark. I will break you because I've lived in the dark. I trained in the dark. I became this person in the dark. I saw a young lady in the last session. She said to me, Eric, I lost my dreams. I have a sickness now. I've always wanted to be in the police force. I have a sickness and it won't allow me to do it. She said, what do I do? I said, take your pain and use your pain to push you past whatever you can dream of. Take your pain, high school dropout. Take your pain. Take the fact that your father wasn't in your life. Take the fact that it took you 12 years to get a four-year degree. Take the fact that you started with nothing. You take that pain and you turn that pain into a book. You recycle your pain. You use your pain. You take your pain and let your pain push you forward. Push you back.
Oh, you think darkness is your ally? Merely adopted the dark. I was born in it, molded by it.
Why don't you stand up with me this morning? There's some of you, you're going through a wilderness today, you're going through a darkness today, and God wants to use that darkness to prepare you. He wants to use that wilderness to prepare you for your promise. And you may not be able to see that right now. It may be a struggle to you right now. But I'm telling you this morning, God's got a plan for your life. And if you're like me, there was times whenever I was in my wilderness and I said, God, I can't see my way out of this thing. I don't know what's happening here. But it was because people prayed with me and helped me and loved me that I was able to see what God was doing. Because somebody was honest with me. When my wife was honest with me and said, you're not ready. You need to stay in the wilderness. I didn't like it, but I'm glad she did. This morning, I want to pray with you, and I got a team down here that wants to pray with you and love on you today because some of you may be struggling in your wilderness. Listen, because we pray doesn't mean you're getting out. Maybe our prayers today are that you stay in a little bit longer, but my prayer for you today is that it's worth it and that you see what God is doing in your life. Some of you, you may be struggling in a wilderness today because you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Oh, you go to church, but you don't know Him as your friend. His presence and His Word are not your priority today, but you need Him in your life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.